Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on June 27th. Another very warm day here in Dallas, Texas. A very exciting day, particularly with the Supreme Court, and we're going to get into that in just a minute. I also have a post coming out Thursday morning about what is happening in Mexico, where López Obrador appears headed for an election. And I have a post tomorrow morning. He reminds me a great deal of Obama. And I'll tell you that in a minute. But another post that I have this morning over at the American Thinker has to do with Maxine Waters, who, as far as I'm concerned, is the greatest gift that the Republican Party has ever received. I mean, my post this morning over at the American Thinker basically says, Maxine, keep talking. We love it when you make a fool out of yourself. So keep talking, Maxine. Keep talking, Maxine, please. Don't anybody tell her to stop talking. This is the greatest gift that Donald Trump has ever received in his life. And there's also, by the way, a very interesting upset in the state of New York, in the New York Democrat primary, where a veteran Democrat congressman, a man who I believe has been in Congress, I don't know, 25, 30 years. I mean, this is one of the veterans one of the Democrat veterans in the House, who some people thought was going to be the next speaker if the Democrats took over the House. Well, he got defeated. He got defeated in the primary by a 28-year-old young woman who, I don't know anything about her background. Nobody knew who this lady was, this young woman was, but she's basically a socialist. If you read her platform, she's a socialist, 100% socialist. And this is now going to be the next, more than likely, unless the Republicans can pull a miracle there, she's going to be the next Democrat senator representing, I think, a part of Queens. I mean, what in the world is happening to the Democrat Party? Well, I think we see what is happening with the Democrat Party. There is a Bernie Sanders movement that is overflowing in the Democrat Party, and this is a good example of that. But let's begin. Let's begin with the two big stories of the day. They have to do with the Supreme Court. The first one is Justice Kennedy is retiring, and that puts an end to all the speculation. People have been talking about this for quite some time. So Justice Anthony Kennedy, who was appointed by President Reagan in 1987, he, of course, became a justice after a couple of others had been shot down. The first one Justice Bork, was nominated by President Reagan. He would have been an amazing judge, by the way. I really have always regretted what happened to Justice Bork, because he would have been a fantastic member of the Supreme Court. But, you know, he was taken out by the pro-abortion forces, and when Senator Ted Kennedy made some of the most ludicrous and irresponsible attacks on Justice Bork back in 1987. Anyway, out of that confusion with Bork being out, and I think somebody else was also in there, and he had to also get out of the race. Anyway, it came down to Justice Kennedy, and he has now been there 31 years, I think, or almost 30 years, about that. And he's been a fairly reliable conservative justice. I know once in a while he would go the other way, but for the most part, he's been a very conservative judge. And this year, he's been really good. He's been, you know, and he has voted with the conservative group every single time, including the big Janus decision that we'll talk about in a minute. So Justice Kennedy will be leaving. In fact, I don't know exactly when he leaves. I don't know if he hangs around until the next guy comes in. I don't know how that works, but more than likely, he wrote his last decision this week with the Janus decision. But this is going to create, of course, a tremendous battle to replace Justice Kennedy. And this is a battle that we will win, because we will get to replace him with a conservative. And I'm sure that President Trump has quite a list of very good people that he's going to nominate. And they're going to get him, because we have the votes in the Senate to nominate him. And it's just going to be a fantastic summer because we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court, and nothing generates a turnout in a Republican primary or in the Republican Party like talking about the Supreme Court. So I'm looking forward to some pretty good debates. I'm sure that whoever President Trump nominates will get 62,000 questions from the Democrats about abortion, 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 abortion. That's the only thing these guys care to ask about when somebody's nominated to the Supreme Court. But eventually, like Gorsuch, the person will make it, and we will have a replacement for Justice Kennedy, and the court will remain a 5-4 conservative majority. And then, of course, the question is, will he get to nominate somebody else? I think he will eventually, because there's, you know, some talk of Justice Ginsburg perhaps retiring too. She's also she's had some health problems, which I think has to be taken into consideration. But anyway, Justice Kennedy, great job for the most part as a justice of the Supreme Court. He had a couple of bad decisions, a couple of times where he disappointed me. The biggest disappointment was, of course, same-sex marriage, where I think he should have just taken the position that the other four conservatives took, which is to say, look, this is not for the Supreme Court to decide. You know, this is for the states to decide. So he should have taken that decision, should have made that decision, I should say. But anyway, on balance, he was pretty good. And this year, he's been extremely good. So we wish Justice Kennedy the very best. The court, though, made an amazing decision today, the Janus decision, which is having to do with public sector unions. And I think a lot of people are misreading this decision, or at least in my opinion, I don't think this is an attack on unions at all. I mean, I have no problem with unions. I think unions are good for workers. I mean, in the private sector especially. I mean, many of the best jobs and benefits in the United States have come because of public sector unions. And I mean, private sector unions, I should say. And if you look at many of our industries, the unions have been good for the workers, and I have absolutely no problem with that. The problem with the public sector is that the public sector unions, whatever their intention may have been, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they started out to help workers, whatever the intentions may have been, the public sector unions became basically a branch of the Democrat Party. And if you look at how they spent money, if you look at how they spent the workers' dues, most of them went to the Democrat Party, which is a joke. I mean, look at the teachers' union. The teachers' union gave almost 100% of their political donations to the Democrats in 2016. Well, do you think that 100% of the teachers voted for the Democrats? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think this is the problem, that the public sector union became basically a part of the Democrat Party. And once they did that, you knew that sooner or later there was going to be a rebellion within the public sector unions, and you were going to get a case like the one that we got today. So I don't see it again as a defeat for the public sector unions. I think the public sector unions will continue representing their workers. What will change is their relationship with the Democrat Party. I think a lot of Democrats are going to all of a sudden realize that they just cannot have the public sector unions anymore as a source of easy cash, because the leaders of the public sector unions are going to have to take into consideration the opinions of any workers at these public sector agencies or jobs or whatever who are not Democrats. So I think the public sector unions are going to be more representative of the members after this decision. But it's clearly going to be a blow for the Democrat Party, because they've gotten used to these unions. They've gotten used to these yearly contributions that always go their way. And that's over. That's over. And I think it's going to make it a lot easier for some of these state governments to negotiate with the public sector unions once you get the politics out of it. You know, again, there was so much politics in the public sector unions that I think it made it very difficult for many states to negotiate with him. But I think it's going to be a better landscape right now for the states to negotiate with many public sector unions. Again, don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to kill public sector unions. I'm not, you know, I'm a big fan of private sector unions. And, you know, public sector unions are a fact of life. But public sector unions should not be aligned with the Democrat Party. They should be aligned with the workers at the public sector, and I don't think they were, which is why I believe what happened today was going to happen eventually. So very interesting way for Justice Kennedy to retire, writing probably one of the most important decisions that he ever wrote. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Gareth Harpy. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sissiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sissiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we've got all of that information right there in the show description. Underneath the show description, you can see the link to Carlos' website. And please check him out. He's great. He's absolutely fabulous, just an absolutely fabulous musician. And he's playing all around Dallas. Well, I want to say happy 75. I want to say happy number 75 to one of my favorite baseball players growing up and one of the greatest names in Major League Baseball history, Rico Petrocelli, who was born in Brooklyn. With that name, I think you could guess that. He was born in Brooklyn. He grew up as a Yankee fan in Brooklyn, obviously. And of course, he went to play with the Red Sox. You talk about joining the enemy. He became one of the great Red Sox of the late 60s, early 70s. He played in the World Series in 67 and in 75 for the Red Sox. One of my all-time favorite players. I love that name, Rico Petrocelli. And he is 75 today. So, Rico, wherever you are, I hope you're having a great time. I still have your baseball card somewhere in my collection of baseball cards. The great Rico Petrocelli. What a great name that is. I've always loved that name. Well, I have a post about Maxine Waters over at the American Thinker today, basically saying to the Democrats, please keep her talking, because the more she talks, the more you help us. Now, I think a lot of Democrats are figuring out that Maxine is quite a liability for them, and I think a lot of them are saying, Maxine, shut up and stop talking. But I'm not sure how much power the leadership has over these crazy Democrats, because I think that the Democrats have gone so crazy and they've allowed these crazy elements to basically take over the party. And I just don't think you can put it back in the jar, or back in the toothpaste, I guess, back in the jar, as they like to say. I just don't think you can do this anymore. I think this element of the Democrat Party is here to stay, and it's here to stay much to the detriment of the Democrat Party. And the only way they're going to get these people out of the party is if they take a beating in November, and then many of these people are going to be angry with the party because maybe they're going to say the party didn't go far enough to the left. So I see a breakup. And hopefully at that time, the more centrist elements in the Democrat Party will pick up the pieces and give the American people a Democrat Party that is more centrist, and then all these left-wing elements will form their own party, and they're never going to get to do much of anything other than maybe win a few seats here and there. And we'll once again have a Democrat Party that is more centrist and more realistic, I think, about what it wants and how it wants to work with the opposition. But Maxine Waters, keep talking. We love it when you talk. I have a post coming out Thursday morning about what's happening in Mexico. As you probably know, López Obrador, who is the left-wing candidate in Mexico, by all accounts, by all the experts, by all the polls, and I'm still very skeptical about polling data in Mexico, as I've said before. But anyway, it looks like he's going to win. Whether he's going to win by 10 points or 5 points, it doesn't matter. He's going to win. And they have the kind of election where whoever gets the most votes wins. So you can get 32% of the vote and win the presidency, which is pretty ridiculous in my book. But anyway, that's the way it is down there. And it looks like he's going to win. And my post coming out tomorrow says that he reminds me a great deal of Barack Obama in 2008. In the sense that Barack Obama in 2008 had this impact on the crowds. You know, whenever you would see Obama talking to crowds, the crowds were like walking, you know, it just completely lost in the personality of Obama. They weren't even listening to what he was saying. I mean, nobody really even understood what he was saying. They were all caught up in his personality. And that's kind of what I see down there. I see a guy who is basically telling a bunch of people what they want to hear. But I also see a guy who's going to create tremendous disillusionment with the people who are going to vote for him, who are in the streets supporting him, because he cannot do any of the things that he's doing. He simply cannot accomplish any of these things. Now, he like he says, for example, that he's not going to live in the presidential residence and that he's not going to have a presidential plane. Well, that's basically nonsense. I mean, how much money does that cost? Nothing. I mean, you could do away with that stuff, and that's not where the corruption is in Mexico. They don't have corruption because they have a presidential plane. He says, for example, that he's going to invite the Pope and other religious leaders around the world to have a conference about violence in Mexico. I'm sure the cartels are very concerned about that visit by the Pope. But, I mean, come on. I mean, he's just making a bunch of promises, and I have a list of many of these promises in my blog post coming out tomorrow, so check it out if you have a chance. But basically, he reminds me of Obama. That's the point of my post. He reminds me of Obama, this talker, who's got the crowds, you know, acting like a bunch of teenage girls at a Bobby Sherman concert or Michael Jackson concert or whatever. And that's what he reminds me of. And there's nothing coherent in what he's saying. The crowds are not even listening to what he's saying. But this guy is probably going to be the next president of Mexico by so-called experts. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I see some very difficult – it's going to be a very difficult summer in Mexico, because if he wins, I think there's going to be a counter-reaction by the investors and the business community who are basically going to say, hey, what the heck are you going to do now that you're president? And he's going to have to move to the middle, because he doesn't want to have a big financial shock. And then when he moves to the middle, all of these people who have been dreaming and supporting him are not going to be very happy. So I don't know. I just see some bad times for Mexico. I hope, honestly, I hope he doesn't win. I hope he doesn't win, because the best thing for Mexico would be to have another president. But I don't know. It looks likely like he's going to win, but what a mess. What a mess it's going to be for Mexico, no matter what happens. Speaking of Mexico, they're in the final 16. They got in today when Germany was eliminated. Germany was the former champs. They're the defending champs. And they were eliminated in the first round. So that's pretty bad, I'm sure, for our German friends. Have a wonderful day, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And again, congratulations to the Supreme Court. And my best wishes to Justice Kennedy, who's retiring today. Bye-bye, everybody.